In a world where unseen forces can influence our lives, one man has dedicated over three decades to confronting and clearing these energies. Jeffrey Seelman, a professional clearing expert, psychic, and exorcist, has been helping individuals, families, and businesses remove negative emotional energies and spirits since 1992. With appearances on national television, including the Sci-Fi Channel Sightings and multiple guest spots on radio, Jeffrey brings a wealth of experience and insight into the realm of the paranormal. Tonight, we'll delve into his methods of clearing spaces and individuals, discuss the nature of negative energies, and explore how these unseen forces can impact our daily lives. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is the Paranormal 360. Joining me now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline is Jeffrey Seelman. Jeffrey, thank you so much for being here this evening.
Dave, thank you for having me on the show.
All right, let's jump right into this, Jeffrey. How did you get the calling to make this your life's ambition to clear people, to help them, and kind of break up these negative energies?
It is kind of like a calling. I was born with psychic abilities. Psychic abilities are nothing more than perception. And when I was young, I was able to see spirits in the classroom when I was just a little kid, 4 or 5 years old.
Was that unnerving for you to be a child and see spiritual energy like that?
I didn't know what they were. I saw adults dressed in unusual clothing in the classroom. Usually it was only two or three, sometimes none. And they seemed to be paying attention to the other students. Never me, really. And I had the feeling they were helping these other students with their classwork. They seemed to be standing behind these students dressed in clothing from other times, maybe. This would have been the early 60s, and certainly they would not have been wearing these outfits. Not the same outfits at all. Everybody was wearing different kinds of clothing, and they seemed to be in some kind of connection, possibly a telepathic connection with these students. These students did not know that they were there. So it was like they were being helped from above or something like that.
So do you think that these spirits then that you were sensing around the other children, were they relatives, guardian spirits, or do you think that they were spirits of that property and area? It was just that those individual kids kind of drew that energy to them.
So at the time I was, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old, 7, 8, this went on for years. I thought that they probably were teachers. I didn't get any feeling about that they were related in any way. They seemed to be there for business only. And once they seemed to accomplish whatever it was, say it was some kind of mathematics problem or language issue or something like that. We were studying those things at the time. So I kind of knew what the other students were doing. I knew what they were working on. We were all working on the same kinds of things. And so they were just getting some help. I wasn't. Also in the classroom, occasionally I did run into one of these beings that were running around the classroom and seemed to be trying to upset people as well. Sometimes they seemed to be connected with somebody in the classroom, usually somebody who's having some kind of difficulties on an emotional level and maybe was causing some problems or whatever.
Now, would you say that these were human spirits or elemental, demonic? What label would you give them now with the perspective you have as an adult?
It's a good question. Certainly not demonic. I would say that they are spirits that were teaching people. Even the negative ones, I would say, look to me like completely like human beings. That's very important to understand, is that they didn't look any different than you or I. I could not see through them. So it was not like they were just partially formed or anything. And I could not see through the clothing. And I thought that was kind of interesting. It occurred to me after some time of speaking with the teachers who really were there, my teachers in the classroom at the front of the class, that they were not seeing these other people. For some time, I thought that the teachers and even the students were seeing these people. But when I would ask about it, no, I was the only person in the classroom seeing this.
At what age were you when you started to detect more of the malevolent or dark presence that surrounds people?
Right then and there, when I saw negative spirits who could see me. Now, those particular spirits that were helping other people, once in a while, they would kind of turn around and look at me and maybe give me a wink or something like that. Almost a sign of acknowledgement that we know that you're there. We know that you can see us, and that's okay. And I felt no negative feelings from these spirits.
Do you think the spirits could see and sense each other as well? Like they were in the classroom together, or were they each in different levels and planes where they couldn't acknowledge or see each other, but they could see the children and they could see you?
I wasn't sure. I have no reason to believe that they could not see anything happening in the classroom, whether it be physical or non-physical in origin. And so it was just human beings that could not see these, whatever they were. I didn't know what they were at the time. I've since come to learn and believe that these were spirits, people who have passed on and no longer have a physical body, Dave. And that's it.
Was it ever terrifying for you as a child to see these presents? Or no, because you knew no other world without them?
It was when I was 4 years old, I woke up, I was in my bedroom. I had the door cracked because that's the way I slept. And 4 years old, this is 1963. I woke up and there were two aliens in my bedroom. And they looked like aliens, you know. Okay. That, how do you know that they're aliens? Well, they're small. They got strange faces. They were wearing uniforms, the same exact kind. And they also had a range of electronic devices on their chest. So you know that they're not spirits or some kind of interdimensional being, as they call it now, you know, different words for it in terms back then. I didn't know what was going on, but I woke up and these two things were at the foot of my bed. And I kind of sat up in my bed. I was too frightened to move. I was 4 years old. This was 1963. But I knew that they were aliens. And one of them had moved over to the side of my bed very close to me and was just looking down at me. And I thought, wow, this is definitely aliens. And they have really interesting technology. I really like that.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, imagine that. Imagine that as a child, you have the gift to see not just the dead, not just the spirit realm around you, but also beings that may be coming from other dimensions, from other planets, and they're right there. What is it like? How does that impact somebody, and especially a child? How do they move forward in life having this kind of ability? We'll find out more from our guest, Jeffrey Seelman, as we continue tonight's program. And remember, check out today's program guide and information for more details about our guest. Welcome back to the program. This is the Paranormal 360, your home for all things supernatural, every Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Central. I'm your host on this journey, Dave Schrader. My guest this evening for this first hour is Jeffrey Seelman. Now, Jeffrey, you had this chance to see these different beings. You're so young. How at 4 years old do you determine this is alien? I mean, it wasn't, you know, in 1963, it's not like aliens were a big presence on TV all the time. It wasn't that same kind of culture that we have today where maybe children are seeing cartoons, movies, things that would have representations of these. How did you discern that what you were seeing sometimes were alien in nature?
With these particular aliens that I saw in my bedroom, they were small. They had really nice looking uniforms on which is very different than spirits that I saw that didn't seem to have anything besides different kinds of nice looking clothing. And also their faces were nothing like ours. They were not human in nature. So a person could say, well, how do you know that they're not some kind of fairy or little being that lives on the planet? It was because of their technology that was obviously technology that they wore or had attached to their uniforms about chest level, and they were really caught my attention. I've always liked technology. I designed my first security system when I was 7 years old, which was highly unusual back then. I had my reasons for doing it, but so these looked like aliens. They were just classic aliens.
But you're looking at them now through the scope of an adult man. Were you aware of it being alien as a child?
Absolutely, because after about a minute or less, I, even though I was not being threatened in any way, no laser guns came out.
Right.
That's the first thing I'd look for when I was 4 years old in 1963. You know, alien laser beam guns, and they're going to blast me. That's what I was really frightened of, Dave, but it just didn't happen. I didn't get any feelings from them of hostility, but I ended up running into my mother's and father's room and saying, Mom, Dad, there are aliens in my bedroom. Fortunately, they believed me. Back at that time, my mother had mentioned to me that I would tell her when people were going to call the next day on the telephone. And so I would say things like, Grandma's going to call at 8:30 or 8:45 a.m. And so that's when you'll be hearing from her. And every single time she did call or somebody called when I had said that. So my mom found that to be very useful. I always thought that she was very psychic, Dave, and just grew up at a time when none of that was considered to be acceptable. Fortunately for me, 1963, there were some really excellent shows around, and my parents were letting me watch that, including things like The Twilight Zone was on, One Step Beyond, The Outer Limits. These were great shows, and it gave me a little bit of comfort because I thought that maybe since everybody was not seeing what I saw, that possibly that was normal.
So here's a chicken or the egg question for you then. Do you believe that you had these abilities all along, which allowed you to see the aliens and the spirits, or do you believe it was the visitation by the aliens that may have awakened something in you that allowed you to see spirits?
I think that I was born that way, with the ability to perceive some things that are not visible with the naked eye to the average individual. I also believe, looking way back on this, because I'm 65 years old now, and so this is a long time ago, but I do believe that those particular aliens were there so that I would know that I was being watched. And later on in life, when so many unusual things would happen to me, that I would have some understanding that this was all meant to be from the very beginning, and to realize that something had taken notice of me when I was very young.
Now, do you continue to have visitations by what you believe to be alien beings, or did that stop in childhood?
It never did stop. It's just that I never was able to control any of it. Aliens come and talk to me, and they give me information about how to best accomplish my work. This has happened many times, and I've written about it.
Have you ever had to banish an alien energy or alien entity?
I've had to confront aliens that were harassing United States military pilots in my work. And so that is, it's this, I help other people in my work. And so it's not so much about me. Most of my experiences with aliens, Dave, have been really good. And so twice in the 1990s, I was asked to speak at conventions where people had been abducted by aliens. I decided not to do that because I had never been abducted by aliens. All my experiences have been positive, although I've heard stories where they have not been positive. And many unusual things have happened to me that were far more profound than what happened to me when I was 4 years old. That was just kind of something to get the ball rolling, I guess.
Now, as you progress and you're helping others, let's kind of turn to that, because I know these next few segments are going to fly by on us, Jeffrey, and obviously we're going to have you back in the future again to go a little deeper. But you feel this calling to start helping people. You believe that the aliens are also imbuing you with information and understanding on how to deal with this. So this really is a calling for you in your lifetime. Walk me through the first moment when you realized you had the ability to start casting things out or helping to deliver people from dark influence.
It would have been 1990. I was 30 years old. I had fallen into a group of people that were doing Ouija boards. Mm-hmm. And I'd never done anything like that. Even though I talked to spirits all the time and they talked to me, I never thought about using any mechanism to actually do that. So I was invited to this kind of thing. They had been doing this for over 20 years. They were professional people. It was just a Tuesday night thing. I started going to these, and it turned out that a couple of people in the group had problems, and they had no way to get rid of these problems. They thought there were spirits. One of the spirits was in this person's apartment. He was a writer. Another person was a professional psychic. She felt there was something in her home. They asked me to take a whack at it, essentially. It also came over the Ouija board that, you know, asked Jeffrey to come and do something about it. I had never done anything like that, Dave. I had studied some things about it for about 10 years after I got out of the Air Force, but I never really practiced it in any way. I guess this was my chance, and I went over to both of their respective homes, and I got rid of the problem. I got rid of the problem right away. That was something that was highly unusual. They had many people who were supposedly more talented than me try and were unable to do this. They were so taken aback. They said, you got to take this to the public.
All right. Our guest is Jeffrey Seelman. When we come back, was it the Ouija boards? Was it these gatherings trying to open up and communicate that was drawing negative energies? And how do you begin to cast them out? Is it strictly done through the power of God, or is there something else involved? Jeffrey Seelman, our guest, right here on the Paranormal 360. All right, Jeffrey, walk us through this part now. You are called upon not only by the people that are having experiences, but the spirits are telling them through the Ouija board to contact you to help rid them of other negativity and other energies and spirits. That's got to be a weird kind of mind trip. But do you believe that these people were calling things in inadvertently by playing with the Ouija board?
Well, I think that was their goal. I think that was their intention to call in spirits of a high caliber and also honest. These were good people. I can tell you that when I first went to this group, I didn't know what to expect. I had never been to a Ouija board session. This did not happen during the first session, by the way. This was something that happened a little bit later on. But I can tell you that I sat back from the table during the first session. I was a little bit nervous, and I didn't really know these people that much. But when it came time at the end of the session, they would go around on the outer reaches of this table, people sitting in sort of a second row around this big round table. And they'd asked me, they said, do you have any questions for the Ouija board? For our spirit guides. And I said, well, do you have any messages for me? That was not a test. I just couldn't think of anything. And the message that came through the Ouija board was try to cut down on the sugar. Now, here's the thing. Nobody okay. at this Ouija board session knew that I had been to my doctor that day for a regular physical checkup. And definitely nobody knew that the one thing that my doctor said to me on the spot before getting any test results back or anything like that was, hey, you should cut down on the sugar. The message that came over the Ouija board was exactly to the word what the doctor said to me. And I thought that was interesting. Is it proof or something like that? No, I didn't really see it like that, but it did begin my curiosity of speaking with people using a mechanism like a Ouija board on the other side. I no longer do that. This is something that just was a novelty back in the 1990s, but it did lead to having some conversations with some very intelligent spirits, I believe. And after a while, they were kind of pointing this group in the direction of, hey, you've got somebody here that maybe you should be paying attention to, and that's me. And before I knew it, I was sitting at the table, and before I knew it, I was actually sometimes operating the planchette, which is the plastic piece that goes along the board. And so I was doing that, and so that went on for a while, and I think that was kind of the beginning of my work, you know, to go and help people. At the time, I just thought I'd be doing it at night and on weekends. I never thought for a second. I live in the Milwaukee area. At the time, I was also living in the Milwaukee area. I moved back to Las Vegas for a while, then I came back here. But the idea was that the internet was not around yet. And so I was only doing in-person work. I put an ad in a small local newspaper. And I thought, well, yeah, I'll be, you know, working, clearing out people's homes of negative spirits. Maybe at night after work, maybe on weekends, but that is as far as it ever would go.
Now, when you're clearing these spirits, how are you doing it? Are you doing it through evocation of religious scripture or presence like Jesus Christ? Or do you have a different way of dispelling the energy?
That's one way to do it. There are many ways, Dave, to actually have command over energies and also a spirit. Exorcism is the art of command, and also so that there are different techniques that different religions use. I myself don't use any religious techniques. What I do is I shape energy in order to have an effect upon negative emotional energies, negative spirits, demonic spirits. They're all full of negative emotional energies, and their intentions are very negative. And all that really needs to be done is to shape raw energies that are everywhere in our universe and use them against negative spirits that have attached themselves to people or property. So everything I do is more of a science than a religion.
Well, how do these things attach to people to begin with? Some people are fearful that even watching paranormal TV shows could open them up to attachments. Some believe just passing through a cemetery can connect you, or going into a house that's reputedly haunted. What's your take on those claims?
I think any time that you think of outer things that are unusual, supernatural things, metaphysical things, you can come into contact with spirits by thinking about the concept in the first place. I would say the graveyard thing is probably less likely because there's not much happening there besides people who might go there. There are some philosophies that people should remain in their graves until someday that they're called upon to go someplace else. I don't think that's the case. I don't think people hang around their bodies when they die, so I think graveyards are pretty empty. But the point is good, Dave. You made a good point that when a person is thinking about emotional energies, when they're thinking about spirits, demonic spirits, whatever it might be, that we can attract these things to us and also get that going in our mind so that we're thinking about it and become a little closer to it.
How many people that you come into contact with are actually dealing with an attachment or a possession or an oppression going on? And how many are just people that maybe have overactive, imaginations?
I would say that 20 or 30% might have some kind of connection on an emotional level to another spirit that would be considered to be negative. That spirit could be a human spirit, meaning a living person. I think we're both spirits and living people at the same time, or that could be a connection to just a spirit. So I would say about 20 or 30% of those 20 to 30% of people who contact me, I would say that 10% may be connected to a negative spirit, and these connections are almost always on an emotional level. And so there's a back and forth between a spirit and a person that is unhealthy, and sometimes the thoughts that we think, the angers that we feel, the emotions that we feel can sometimes be generated by other sources, meaning other spirits.
All right. You've got these type of attachments that are taking place. You said maybe 20 to 30% is actually something, the rest being imagined or however you want to look at it, maybe mental issues that people are having. What's more dangerous, an actual attachment or somebody that maybe is unstable?
The actual attachment can be very serious when a person is being controlled emotionally by another source, whether it's a person or a spirit. The good news is that the 70% of people who come to me are just looking for clearings or protection to learn how to protect themselves from other people and spirits, or to get cleared, essentially to flush out negative emotional energy from a person's energy fields, the body's energy fields, and also to dissolve negative connections. So most of the people who come to see me don't have these serious problems. It's only about 20 to 30% that feel that they might be either possessed or they have some kind of connection issue.
All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, what are some steps and methods we can take to start to protect ourselves so that we aren't vulnerable to negative influence of emotional vampires, emotional spirits, or darker forces that are out there? Jeffrey Seelman, our guest, and we'll give you some more information on how you can keep up with Jeffrey. And if you're in need of deliverance, in need of help, what can you do to get Jeffrey involved? All right, welcome back to the program. As always, a lot of fun goes by quick on us, Jeffrey, but I know a lot of people are out there that are concerned that they may have something attached to them or something influencing their life negatively. How can they reach out to you, and can you help them remotely, or do you have to be in the room with them in order to cast out and deliver them from these issues?
For the first 10 years of my work, starting in 1990 until the internet got going, I had no choice but to do everything in person, whether it was getting rid of a negative spirit or just doing a simple clearing on someone, which is the majority of my work, also clearing out property, I was there in person. Now I do the majority of my work through distance work. I have found since I started doing distance work that that is probably the best way to do it, because I can take my time and people are even more relaxed. Any kind of clearing or separation between spirits, from one spirit to another, anything like that, is best accomplished when the person is as relaxed as possible. Now, I'm going to be relaxed no matter what is going on, because I've done thousands of these cases, but it's very important for the person to be relaxed. And so I work through things like Zoom and other medias as well, telephone and things like that. It's best to work with a picture. When I work to clear a property, Dave, what allows me the best opportunity is several days to go over the property. And that way I make sure that the property is completely clear and pristine, which is something I was unable to do when I was doing in-person work, because I would go to somebody's business or go to somebody's home and I'd only have a few hours to work. That's just the way it was. Nobody wants me to stay overnight or something like that. It really wasn't natural and normal. And so this way I get a few days to work on the project, clearing somebody's home, their condo, their business, something like that.
Can you do it in one visit kind of thing? Or does it take multiple times of going there to really break the bonds of these energies?
Prefer not to do it in one session, because I like to go over it. And so it works best if I can take my own time. Personal clearings are really hour-long sessions at a time. And they are hour-long sessions, 15 minutes of me talking with a person and 45 minutes of doing in-person work, which might be just clearing negative emotional energies, or it could also be working on negative spirits of varying kinds. And there are different kinds of spirits that might have attached itself to a person, and these attachments are emotional in nature.
What can we start to do right now to protect ourselves? What are some basic elements to keep ourselves from drawing negative attachments and repelling ones that may already have their, you know, designs on us?
We need to learn how to strengthen our own energy fields. It's something that we're not taught in school. It's something that many books that have been written get wrong. And there are right ways to do it and wrong ways to do it. And so what we have to learn is that we have natural protection systems, and we can fortify those protection systems by generating a stronger energy field, which is something I do. I teach people how to do this, and it's actually rather easy. It works, and it repels negative emotional energies, even when we don't know that we are under attack. Anybody who's thinking about us is sending us negative emotional energy. When we're watching the media or listening to the media, we can pick up negative emotional energies. We can pick them up from stores and restaurants and places we work, people that we know, people that we live with.
Sure.
It can come from any direction at all, and we don't have to tolerate negative emotional energy from other people or spirits entering into our body's energy fields. We can do something about it, and it's actually very easy to learn.
All right. Can you give us a few quick little steps right now?
Sure. Essentially, visualization acts very differently on a non-physical level than it does on a physical level. So we can visualize going from Los Angeles to London, and we're still going to end up in Los Angeles. So we're visualizing it, but it's not going to happen unless we hop on an airplane. But on a non-physical level, we can actually create energies. I believe that there are already energies that are there that want to be shaped by thinking about them, by visualization through our mind, that we can actually create something like a mirror that completely surrounds us, kind of like we are floating in the center of it. This is how I ask people to visualize it, Dave. And actually, it does create an energy field that repels negative energy and sends it back to the source. All we have to do is visualize it to create it on a non-physical level. The reason being is that everything non-physical does not weigh anything. It's all light, as light as air, and that is how we can manipulate it. So essentially creating some kind of force field in order to repel negative energy is as easy as thinking about it and visualizing the form, which actually moves and creates the energy itself. This works really great with non-physical energies, but does not work very well with physical systems. So we're only trying to protect ourselves from spirits, which are completely non-physical, and negative emotional energies, which are also completely non-physical. And that's why all of this is science and all of it works.
Now, I've heard that wearing like mirrored necklaces and things is a great way to help repel negativity and energy as well. You're saying it mentally, putting yourself almost like in a funhouse in the center with all the mirrors pointing out around you to keep that negativity at bay. Do you think that physical representation, A, can help anchor you physically and mentally to have a better way of doing that? And B, do you think a mirror actually works?
I think it can if it's charged. And charging means that we give it power to do something, and how we charge an object like a small mirror that we wear, which is falls under the category of talisman. And so what we're doing is essentially charging that mirror to protect us or to send negative energy back to the source. And I think it can be somewhat effective, and I think it can help. Many people do wear different kinds of talismans and protective ornaments and,
right,
and necklaces and things around our wrist and whatever. I think these things can be helpful, but I do think that in order to really keep ourselves safe, we have to protect ourselves completely and not just one small part of ourselves.
You're going to want more information. Jeffrey Seelman will have it on today's program guide. Protect yourself. Understand what's going on. Tonight, Jeffrey has reminded us that not all battles are fought in the physical world. Some take place in unseen spaces around us, from emotional imprints to spiritual interference. His work shows us just how powerful and personal energy truly is. Whether you're skeptical or sensitive, it's clear we're all affected by forces we can't always see. A big thank you to Jeffrey for shedding some light on the darkness. John West is next. Poltergeist Destructive Hauntings, right here on the Paranormal 360.